Lou Ann Fisher is here. She is superintendent for the wastewater treatment plant for the city of Stillwater, and that means after you use the water, what happens to it? Lou Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see
you
again.
I am so happy that you have me here today. Well, we have a collection system that goes, that leaves the homes, the businesses, that brings all of the wastewater to what we call the wastewater treatment plant. Mm-hmm. There are biological processes going on out there for treatment. The water comes in to one area of the plant, and then it travels through seven different processes, and it gets cleaner as it goes along. There's a biological activity that's very sensitive to certain pollutants and things like that. But overall, the plant runs without feeding chemicals. It's strictly natural.
And this is, of course, not just for Stillwater, but for other locales. This process that you're talking about has come through years and years of, I won't say trial and error, because you really don't have a chance to make an error, but improvements on something that's a little more or less primitive, shall we say, than we used to have back in the day. It's evolved.
It has.
I would think that's a good way to put it, right?
Exactly. As everything else evolves, we have more technology involved now. We can actually control some of the pumps from an operator's room where there's a system for telemetry,
mm-hmm.
and we get a little bit better treatment that way because you don't have to run around checking on everything. The plant is spread out on 40 acres, and so getting from one end to the other, if you needed to in a hurry, is a little bit difficult.
And the reason it's like this is because there's property out there where items get taken to, shall we say, and then the discharge ends up going out of the plant, and eventually I think the Stillwater Creek, which eventually flows to the Cimarron, which eventually flows back to the Arkansas River, where the water came from in the first place. How many sections are there out there that are for items that aren't just the plant, but for where things might go as far as other discharge that you get rid of, solids and things of that nature?
Well, as the water goes through the seven processes, the solids are settled out.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes the solids to what we call heated digesters. And the heated digesters are made to get rid of any kind of bacteria. And so once that has taken place, then the solids are land applied. There are 310 acres surrounding the plant that the city owns.
And that's by design. That is,
yes,
done by nearly everybody who has a wastewater treatment plant in the country, some areas larger than others. You would be surprised in some cases, in,
yes,
some large communities, how big these are. And, of course, there's multiple ones. But we have one, so it has to serve a lot of people.
Yes. I would say somewhere around 50,000 people or more. We bring in about 5 million gallons a day on average of wastewater.
And we might mention that this plant is at the other end, literally, of town, Brush Creek Road south and east of Stillwater, not even in the city limits, hardly. It is accessible to the public. You can drive right up to it. But most people drive by it if they're
yeah,
going
they
down
do.
Brush Creek. They don't have maybe a reason to stop there unless they work. But that's what that plant is. If you ever are at that side of town and wonder, what's this big? Oh, that's the sewer plant, people might call it. But that's what it is.
That is exactly what it is.
And there's been some improvements and changes there physically in recent years. Part of that necessitated by equipment, and part of that necessitated by the fact you're always trying to stay a step ahead of the DEQ and the EPA and all those other little acronyms that watch over water and wastewater.
Yes, and we do have to be permitted by the state.
Yeah, that's another process
we
you have
get
to go
inspected.
Through.
Yeah. We have limits on some of our discharges as far as the numbers go. We have a lab that runs over 3,000 tests each month.
Mm-hmm.
The plant runs 7 days a week. You know, the flow never stops. There's no way to turn it off. And we have been without violation for quite a while now,
mm-hmm.
a couple of years at least.
Yeah.
So I think we've got a good handle on how to treat this wastewater. It's been a great job for someone to get into because there's always a wastewater plant wherever you go.
Yeah, they're not having them. They're going to be around for a while. It's kind of like water treatment at the other end. We talked with Bill Millis and those guys. that there's always going to be these situations where you have these plants. And every community of any size has one.
Yes.
Large or small, and again, the larger communities have more than one. Lou Ann Fisher is here, superintendent for the wastewater treatment plant here in Stillwater. We've told you kind of what it does and where it is. How many employees do you have out there working? Because they do different things.
Yes, they do. There's a lot of mechanics out there, so we have two maintenance mechanics employed.
And they're kind of like car mechanics. They kind of keep things running, right?
They do absolutely keep things running. We have an electronics technician who his purpose is to keep the telemetry going. We have four operators. Of course, we run 7 days a week, so they're going to be rotating weekends. Mm-hmm. We have two lab techs, and then we have myself.
So a number of people who work out there. Now, what we can tell here in the last part of our segment here, when you have a lot of rain, which we're getting ready as we talk here to have before this weekend, and you have all this runoff and everything else that's going on, that ends up, a lot of it does, ends up, if it doesn't go into a creek somewhere, it ends up going into the storm drains and down the sewer system it comes to the wastewater treatment plant. But that's when you have rain, and we don't have heavy rains a lot, but we have it enough that you have to deal with it, right, which creates its own set of dynamics.
Yes, and of course there's always deterioration of the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much of a difference in flow, because the collection crews go around now and have a maintenance plan whereby mm-hmm. they camera the lines and they check everything, and they're always making the repairs necessary. And so I would say from 5 million gallons on a heavy rain, you might get 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And it has decreased over the years.
I was going to say, with improvements in the system, that has actually gone down. I remember the number was 9 or 10 when I got here. And I'm sitting here going, wow, and sometimes higher than that. How do you handle all that inflow? And they do a pretty good job of it. Now, the other thing is, and I've noticed this around town, and people, when you know, it's not a 911 call if you see this, but it is a call to the city. If you see, like, you're driving down the street, let's say a curb and gutter street with storm drains, and there's tree limbs and things in them, and they won't handle the flow, well, that stuff could eventually get into the system. So what you want to do is call and say, hey, can you fix this problem on, say, East 4th or whatever? And they'll come out and remove some of the items out of there that they can, and then get those things cleaned out. That's a constant challenge to get that done. And I know here next week there's going to be an item where folks can help, and the city's going to be putting stickers on certain drain areas and things of that nature to be able to identify directly, hey, this is a storm drain. This goes into our wastewater treatment plant system. And so some identification maybe for some folks who don't know.
Right,
in that
and you definitely do not want to put things in the system that don't belong in the system.
And don't flush them down the toilet either. I'll just say bluntly that way, since we're on a podcast, we can kind of be that way. But you keep stuff out of the system. That's why we have the household hazardous waste collection events twice a year.
That's right.
Is to keep those items from just being dumped out on the ground or dumped in the system somehow, or, as I said, flushed down the drain or however you want to put it, to keep those. And it's been over two decades very successful in helping, shall we say, the other end of the project here do its job, and that's where you come in.
Well, and the city likes to assist the customer.
Mm-hmm.
They would like for the customer to have a place for these things to go, because the way I see it, it's our gift to the people that live downstream from where we discharge.
Yeah, because you'd like the water to come out better than where you get it from. And the water's not bad coming from Caw Lake, but it's a big loop. It starts up at Ponca City and ends up eventually at Keystone Lake and back at the Arkansas River again. So our system's kind of a loop.
Yes.
With the Arkansas River being one side of the triangle, as it were, and then we're the other two sides with the water intake and then outtake. About a minute left here. Anything else you want to add as far as what you tell people about this setup? And again, we've kind of touched on several things here.
Well, the wastewater treatment system is not much different than your own biological system.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, you know, what would you take into your body is what you would put into the sewer.
Right.
You really don't want to put grease in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Wipes are sometimes a problem because they can get clogged up in some of the pumps in the lift stations.
And paper works. That's sometimes not so biodegradable, shall we say.
And plastics.
And plastics in particular. And in particular, this is for an example, the wind blows, trash blows, a Walmart bag type bag, and I say that, that's other people have them too, gets blown into the receptacle there for the water in the drain. Okay. Well, then it rains. Down the system this thing goes, and it can plug something up anywhere.
Sure.
So that's an example. It's one, but there are many. So if you want some of these tips and some of these ideas, give your office a call, or they can go online, because I know there's some things on there as well. But how do they get a hold of you? And not necessarily that you'd want to tour the wastewater treatment plant, but you might.
We do give tours.
And I say they do give tours. That's why I bring it up. How can they get a hold of you?
They can call my office at 372-2011. We give a lot of tours annually, especially to OSU students and other
groups. People
actually
studying to get into this.
And it's very... It's not real complicated, but it is a little bit more than what people would think that goes on out there.
Yeah.
And we're happy to show the place off, to bring a better understanding to the citizens as to what happens out there. And just give us a call. I would be happy to schedule a tour.
Excellent. Very good. And again, this falls under the Department of Water Utilities. And Lou Ann Fisher is superintendent for the wastewater treatment plant out on Brush Creek Road. Thanks, Lou Ann. Good to see you again.
Thank you for having me.